From the John Nevada Broadcast Center, it's time for Keeping It Real with Frankie D and his guest on the Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network and Jack FM 89.7 WRHS FM Norwich on Wednesday, April the 15th, the year of our Lord, 2015. And now, here he is, Frankie D.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the show where we talk about our neighborhoods, we talk about all things Italian-American, we talk anche in italiano ogni tanto. Today's show, I'm sitting here with seven Italian-Americans, and they're going to discuss their experience of the very first trip they took to Italy. So I'm going to start out with my experience. The first time I went to Italy, I was 19 years old, and I had signed up for a school program with a college in the summer. It was a five-week program, and I stretched the trip to about 2 months. I could not wait to go. I was so excited. I was a very lucky guy. I was going to be traveling, at least going there, with this very good friend of mine that I've been friends with since the first grade. At the time we were 19, he probably had been to Italy 15, 16 times in his life. He had a girlfriend there. His parents had a condo by the beach, and he spoke fluent Italian. It was as if he was a native Italian. So I was lucky in that sense. So we fly into Rome. And I will never forget, we take a taxi, we go into Rome to see his girlfriend. So when we get out of the taxi, I'm standing on this corner in Rome, Italy, and I'm just blown away. I just cannot believe where I am. I think also because this was 1986, so I mean, there wasn't internet, the world wasn't such a small place at the time. So I mean, Rome, Italy to me, you know, you see it in books, you might saw it in a movie, but I was just blown away. I couldn't believe where I was. So we go to see his girlfriend. They live in one of these gigantic palazzo, you know, big, huge apartment building, 8 stories high, which is typical in Rome, and beautiful place. And I always remember that the mother of the girlfriend, she made a pasta, this pasta alla carbonara. I remember that like it was yesterday, and it was a long time ago. I was dumbfounded. The whole thing just blew my mind away. Also, the very first for me, the first time I was able to see or go to the town where my mom's family was from, and then the town where my father's family was from, was just, you know, just it grabs your heart. I'll never forget, especially with my mom's side, I'm in the city that's right outside the small town, and I'm standing there on the coastline because it's in Sicily, and it was Cefalù, and there's this cathedral in the background. So there's this famous cathedral, and I'm standing on the coastline in Cefalù, and I'm looking at that, and I go, oh my God, that's the picture of all my mom's cousins from their weddings. This was the picture with the cathedral in the background, and it was in my grandfather's house. And I saw these pictures my whole life, but, you know, what did it exactly mean to me? Nothing at the time. But when I'm standing there and I'm looking at it, I just couldn't believe it. And to see where your families came from, it's like, for me, it's like a must for every Italian-American to go to Italy once in their lifetime, because that's like where it all started. This is, in a way, you know, who we are. This is where it came from. And, you know, I just found it to be such a magical place. And I mean, everything, it was great. It was a tremendous experience. And then I was an even more fortunate guy that from this one experience, I got to do it four more times. That first trip, I was there the 2 months. I came home and I finagled my way to go back about 6 months later. And that trip was with studying for a semester. So now I went for 5 months. And then I went the following year. I was really taken back. So it was fantastic. So that was my experience. We're going to go around the table and hear everybody's experience. So we'll go to my left and start with Bill.
Real quick,
Well, how old were you when you went your very first trip?
It was 1994. I was about 26, 27.
Okay.
I had just finished college, was working at City Hall for a couple of years, and finishing up a second degree in teaching. And I thought, this is going to be my trip to myself. I mean, my gift to myself, sorry. Taking a trip for myself after I graduated. So that summer of 94, I took some money that I'd saved up and rented an apartment in Florence for 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Oh, you rented an apartment?
Yeah, I just decided to just go home.
Now, why did you do that instead of like just getting a hotel room? And
I just wanted to be there. I mean, literally live in a neighborhood surrounded by Italians, all the stores.
How long was the trip supposed to be, or was the trip?
2 weeks. That's all I could afford.
Oh, it was a
That's all I could
trip.
Afford at the time, yeah. So I thought, well, I'll make the most of it. And like a fool, I did. I still can't believe I did this. Within the 2 weeks I stayed there, I had a Europass. I guess they still have them, where you can get on the trains off and on everywhere.
Right.
And within 2 weeks, I had visited like 9 major cities and a lot of small towns while using Florence as my base.
Now, so were these just cities like in Tuscany, or did you go?
I started out in Florence, but ended up visiting Milan, Venice, Naples, Rome, Siena, and a couple of other big cities, just taking the trains back and forth.
Wow.
Like a fool. Like sometimes I would sleep overnight on the train to get to one city, come back. Then I'd come back to my apartment building, and the woman there who would rent it from, and she, where'd you go? Like, where you been for 2 days? And I'd been traveling all over trying to see as much as I could. And like Frank said, it's transformative, if I can use a big word.
That was a big word, by the way.
Sorry. Okay. I'm a teacher. I have to justify my
job. Showing off.
But you go there, and it's just like you said, it's not quite what you imagine. When it's there, it's real. Everybody's speaking Italian. You have all these smells from your childhood. Because where I grew up in Chicago, in Ogden and Grand Avenue, was still fairly Italian. So a lot of these sights and smells became real. And it just became, it's hard to describe. Like Frank says, you have to go there to experience it. And it does change your view of Italy, of what Italian culture is all about. Because you begin to compare it to what you see here in America, which is very limited. And there your mind is just literally expanded. And that's my story.
So it was a great experience.
Oh, yeah.
And how many times have you been back since, Bill?
I think 12 over
12
the last
times.
20 years. 12
wow.
times.
Wow.
Try to go every 2 years.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That's great. That's great. Okay, our next guest.
Hi, I'm Melissa Spilotro. And my first experience in Italy, I went when I was the age of 13 years old.
13 years old.
And I was lucky enough to go with my grandparents. So I was with my grandparents for 1 month alone.
What part of Italy did you go to?
We went to Calabria.
Calabria, okay.
That's where my grandparents are from.
Okay, and how long was this trip that you went for?
I was there for almost 2 months.
2 months at age 13?
Almost 2 months, yes.
Okay,
yes.
And what was it like for you when you first got there? I mean, you're a young kid, and
you're
in a foreign country.
So we get to Italy, and we get to my grandparents' town after we're driving up the mountain and going around and around. And I finally get out of the car, and I look around, and I'm like, wow, this is amazing. You just see the old architecture and the people walking the streets and just like Bill said, the sights and the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
It was just mind-blowing.
But I now, mean, just to put in perspective, Bill was in Florence. That's a major big city.
Oh,
you were in a very small town up in a mountain. So this is two different experiences.
Totally two different experiences. But the reason it was so, you know, it was such a big deal was that it was a town where my grandparents, you know, were from, where my family grew up. You know, you just feel such a connection
mm-hmm.
when you're there.
Right.
You know, and seeing where, you know, the house where my grandfather built, where the family was raised. You know, I would wake up in the mornings by the church bell going off and the roosters crowing, you know, at 4 a.m. It was just wonderful. I mean,
homesickness in the beginning?
No, not at all. I mean, I'm with my grandparents, so
they're
like a second mother and father.
Sure.
So it was truly, I mean, breathtaking.
Was it overwhelming with all these relatives and all the, you know?
A little bit. So the more you just get to meet everyone, and you just feel like your family. I mean, and pretty much you just
and how long did it take to, like, in the town you were, like, so comfortable and, like, going
right away,
house to house,
right away they knew me as l'americana, you know, the American girl. They would always call me over, hey, come inside, you know, get some coffee, or, you know, they would just hang out and talk, and it was wonderful.
Wow,
it was an amazing
great.
experience.
That's great. Did you get to travel to other?
Yes, I did. I was lucky enough, after my mom arrived, after a month, me, my sister, my brother, and my mother, we went to visit Bari, or actually Trigiano, where my father's from. And we did pretty much the same thing. We get to, you know, visit this town and see where my dad grew up and where my family's from, and it was just amazing.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
It really touches you. And
have you been back since?
Yes. Two other times I was
back. Oh, you went two other trips?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Two other times I got to go to Rome. I went to Capri. We traveled around a little bit, and I must say, every time I explain what Italy's like, it's like, you know, to somebody, it's like opening up a storybook, and you just jumped into the page. It's amazing. If you walk through Rome, I mean,
wow, that was good. Dino's a little disappointed because he was going to use that. He had told me earlier. So, wow, he's got nothing to say. Okay, one less mic. One less mic, John. Dino's done. He's over. Okay. Good for you, hon. All right. But no, go ahead with that, please.
No, but it was wonderful. I mean, we were traveling around. We went to Rome. I saw the sights, you know, tasted the food, just, you know, everything. It was, you feel such a sense of pride when you're there, you know, proud of your heritage.
You mean more than the Columbus Day Parade?
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
We discovered some today, ladies and gentlemen.
No, you definitely do. And I it's hard to explain to someone that hasn't been there, but when you go and just being Italian-American and knowing that that's your history and your culture, you're so proud of who you are and, you know, and what your ancestors did. And you really
And you know what? Rightfully so.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be proud of.
Oh, definitely.
Genuinely a lot to be proud of, yes.
Definitely. You definitely hold your head up a little bit higher.
Don't you?
After seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Don't
definitely.
You?
Yeah. Definitely do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Brava, brava.
You, sir, in the corner.
Yes, hello.
Talk to me.
My name is Louis Calabrese, and I am 54 years old, and unfortunately, I didn't get to go to Italy until I was 50 years old.
Your first trip was 4 years ago.
Yes, it was four years ago.
Really?
Before that, we never left the States, and we'd go to Caribbean and stuff like that, but never left
so
the States.
So this was strictly a vacation with the family,
with
I'm assuming?
With the family, and fortunately, we went with the entire family. So all of my children, my brother and his children, and my mother and father.
Oh, wow.
And we did a cruise.
That's a lot of people traveling.
Right,
yes.
We did a cruise, and we flew into Venice. And that was where we started, and we spent two nights in Venice, right on the Grand Canal. Wow. It was absolutely beautiful. I actually took my cousin, who was here with us, when we went to Italy for my third trip, to the restaurant in the hotel we ate at, which is right on the Grand Canal, and it's something out of a movie. I am sure George Clooney went past it in his yacht, Arcade Armada, when he got married. And then we got on a boat. And we were on the Aegean side of Italy, and we got to go to Split, Dubrovnik in Croatia, and Montenegro, which you would say, oh, that's not Italy, but it is very much Italy.
Very Italian.
A huge Venetian influence, huge Roman influence in that area. All the monuments, the churches.
Now, where is this? Montenegro.
Montenegro, Croatia. Which
okay.
is north,
Serbia.
So it's Croatia, the old Yugoslavia,
right,
and then
right.
Albania. That whole area is...
I think Croatia is bilingual. Don't they speak Italian
yes,
and
they
Croatian?
Do. Yes, they do.
There's a lot of Italians in Croatia.
A lot. And the food is extremely similar to the food on the mainland of Italy. And but mostly the architecture is extremely Venetian and Roman in design and everything.
Roman history, that's true. Yeah.
Correct. So then we went around the boot, and we ended up in the Amalfi Coast in Sorrento and spent the early morning in Sorrento and then went to Anna Capri. And it was something that I will never forget. It is the most beautiful, picturesque. We went there in August, so everything was in bloom. And the limoncello, we had a lemon risotto.
Oh, wow.
That to this day, my mouth waters talking about it. And my brother and I proceeded to drink probably 2.5 bottles of wine, and then followed up with homemade limoncello, which was ambrosia. It was beyond.
And the whole trip lasted how long?
10 days. We were 10 days.
You did all that in 10 days.
Yes, we did.
Wow.
Yeah.
You had to be exhausted at the end.
You know what? It was easier on my parents because of the boat, because you're on and off, and they were able to, you know, if they didn't want to get off and go on, they could stay on the boat. So it was a lot easier.
Wow.
And then we ended up in Rome, which we got to go to the Sistine Chapel
and
the Vatican,
yeah.
And had some unbelievable meals on the rooftops of these small, quaint restaurants, and the dishes and the flavors and the pizza and the wine is, everybody says that the wine is different in Italy, and it definitely is. There's just something about it. Maybe
it is.
It's your
every
state,
wine is great.
Your state of mind or what it is, but everything, and of course everybody knows it's Italian, that in Italy everything is fresh. So it's no cans, no preservatives, and the food just is beyond.
Right.
Beyond discussion. It really is.
And as I say, like, every Italian-American should visit Italy, yeah, I'll go you one better. Almost every Catholic should try to go see the Vatican.
Oh, that by far, it takes your breath away.
Yes.
It takes your breath away. It is something that is monumental.
And then, I don't know how everyone else felt, but, like, there was something about being in Italy and all the churches, because, boy, God knows there's a lot of them. You feel slightly more
religious.
Yeah. You really do.
Right.
You know, without sounding corny, you do feel a little bit religious. Yeah, more religious than the normal
Some
days.
Of the churches in Croatia were unbelievable.
Really? That's great. For another show, we'll talk about Croatia. Thank you very much. Wow. Whose show is this?
But those are all Italian churches.
All kidding aside, tell me a little bit about, there is this Italian influence there?
Oh, yeah.
Montenegro.
Yes.
I think he's done, Frank.
I think. Cut his mic.
It all ties in together.
It does.
Yes,
Okay. Now, were there Italian people, Italian citizens living in Montenegro, or no? Not really.
Not that I was aware of.
Okay, but
not
there
that
was
I
just
was
this
aware
influence.
Of. Right,
okay.
Just that influence. Correct.
Okay. Okay, great.
The food, the culture, everything.
Gotcha. Right. Okay, great. Excellent. And now, and one last question. You were 50 4 years ago. You have been back since, correct?
I've been back twice since.
You've been back. So, wow.
Right.
So from your first trip, you went 2 more times within the next 3 to 4 years.
Correct.
So apparently you really liked it.
And my wife and I have made a vow that we're going to go every other year, and we're going to hit different areas, Amalfi Coast, Lake Como, Calabria. Because it's where my father's from. So,
Okay.
And we want to go to Sicily, believe it or not. I want to go to Sicily.
I don't know why you'd say believe it or not.
We got a couple Sicilians here, so that's why I said it.
It's my show.
but we have friends that have told us that.
Let me tell
Sicily
you something.
Italians have told me go to Sicily.
Let me tell you this. Not because I am half Sicilian. Sicily possibly could be the most beautiful of the natural beauty of all Italy. The physicalness of it is unbelievable. I absolutely tell everybody go to Sicily if you have the opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Next up.
My name is Dino DeVivo, and the first time I went was last year.
Last year.
I'm 47 years old.
That's great.
And I
That's
got to
great.
Go with my son, Dino, on his Italian class for school, and my cousin Lewis here that was talking joined us.
Wow. What school is that, may I ask?
Ridgewood High School.
Ridgewood High School. Excellent. Oh, okay. Yeah. I've heard a lot of good things about it.
Yes.
Okay. Even John's happy with that one. Okay. So you guys went for, like, was it 9, 10 days?
We were 9 days. No, 7 days, and we were 9 different cities.
Wow. Okay. Did you go north, south?
We were Milan, Verona, Orchetta,
and then down to Pompeii, correct?
Venice.
Pompeii was as far south, I believe, as you went.
Pompeii was as far south.
Tell me about when you very first got there. You're on the soil. You're 47 years in America. What are you feeling?
Well, to me, it was life changing because this is the one thing I wanted to do my whole life. And I told Frank yesterday, if I never went anywhere else, I'd be happy. So, you know, no one's more proud to be Italian than me, but after going there, it just shows we're the greatest people in history.
Right.
It's just unbelievable. The food, the culture, the architect, the churches, the wine, the whole experience was life-changing for
yes.
me.
And you know what I've often thought as well? The food, it's almost like a no-brainer.
Yeah,
I mean, we all know, and it is the truth. It's the best, hands down, in the world.
But there's so much more.
Oh.
There is so much more. I mean, you just, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. Now, that was last year. I'm assuming there will be future trips in your...
I will go back in 2 years, hopefully with my son Dominic.
Okay, did you get to go to Rome with the trip?
Yes,
so you went to the Vatican and all that?
Yes, we saw that, which, like everyone said, it's unbelievable.
What was your favorite part of this? Of the all the cities you visited?
I have to be honest, I was amazed at Pompeii.
Really?
I really was. It was unbelievable to see what our people were doing 2,000-3,000 years ago.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
Right.
I would love to go see more, but we only touched on maybe an eighth of it, and there's just so much more to see.
Yeah, that was that was a quick trip. I mean, unfortunately, usually our first trips tend to be that way, and you really do have to hustle.
But we did do a lot in the days, so it was great. Really
that's
was.
Great.
Yeah.
That's
great. The movie didn't do it any justice.
No?
The movie that was just out, Pompeii.
Oh,
it did
okay.
not do it any justice.
Okay.
No.
They never do.
You got a film critic here, too. Okay. All right. No, that's good to know. That's good to know. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Next up.
Hi. My name is Dennis LaMontagna. And my one and only trip to Italy was in 1972.
And you were how old at the time?
I was 22 years old.
Okay.
And I went for a month on my honeymoon.
Oh, your honeymoon, 1 month. Yes. Okay. Let me ask you right there. Was your wife Italian as well?
Yes.
Had she been there?
No.
Okay, so you're two Italian-Americans, first trip together on a honeymoon.
And not only that, the first trip of any of the cousins or relatives that were Italian-American.
Wow.
After our grandparents came to this
country. Okay, let me ask you, how did you and your wife happen to pick this destination for your honeymoon?
Well, we're Italians.
Is that the reason? I mean, did you say, like, let's go to Italy?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, we went to Europe. We spent a month in Italy. Spent a month in Italy.
Wow.
And it was arranged through a uncle of mine who communicated by mail with a cousin of his.
Wow.
And I never forget this. It was 1972, so that's 40-some years ago. I can remember everything that I saw and went to like it was yesterday. And my great-uncle picked us up, my great-uncle Pasquale LaMontagna.
And where was this happening?
Well, my father's family came from a town outside of Rome called Acerra, the town of Acerra.
Okay, okay.
But they had since moved to Rome.
Okay.
And my great-uncle Pasquale, picked us up at the Leonardo da Vinci Airport.
Correct, right.
And it was like I knew him my whole life.
Wow.
And within 45 minutes from the Leonardo da Vinci Airport, my wife and I were greeted by 25 Italians that we never met before in our life that became instant family.
Yes.
And back then, not only was it a genuine honor for Italian Americans to travel to Italy, because it wasn't done like it is now, but it was also an honor for Italian Americans to come to Italy for the people who were there. My cousins,
I like the way you phrased that.
My cousins and uncles, they were so proud to see an American, an Italian American, part of their family. It was just a wonderful experience.
Wow.
And they all looked much younger than they really were.
Okay.
And I was only 22 at the time, and my cousins and uncles were 40s and 50s, and they kept up with us like they were 20 and 30 years old.
Right.
And my Uncle Pasquale and Andrea and Uncle Dominic and Uncle Clement.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing about them, there's four cousins in America that had the same names.
Oh, okay. Named after the grandfathers.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
So they took us through Rome, took us to Naples, took us to Sorrento. And from there I found out that one of the cousins had a hotel in Venice.
Okay.
So we were planning to go to Venice anyways, and we stayed in a hotel right in Venice.
Wow.
Which was a wonderful experience, and we went to Capri and Milan and all of the countries in between time. And every one of them I can remember like it was yesterday. It was an experience of a lifetime. I haven't been back in 44 years.
But you know what? At least you had that one. If you never go, and I hope you do, but if you never do, you had that experience.
And
that's great.
And now, today, because of that trip, my children know their children,
right.
And they visited each other.
Right.
My son, who's here today, has gone to Italy to see those great cousins' children,
yes.
And now they've been here.
Yes.
So it's a wonderful experience. I don't really care what nationality you are to go to your home country, but
absolutely.
Being Italian makes it that much better.
Yeah.
My mother's family is from Sicily.
Okay.
But I have not been to Sicily.
Okay.
But if I do go again, hopefully,
you would
I
go
will
there.
Visit Sicily.
Yes. You know, it's funny, the way you said that, it made me think, too. When I went to Sicily, I remember now, it was like 86, so it was a few years after yours, but it was before all of this modern technology.
Yeah.
And I just remember a piece of paper writing down, like, okay, Giuseppe is the son of this one, of that one, of that one, of the grandfather of this, and of that. And it's for me to, like, make sense of who all these people were. And my mom's aunt, who used to live with us on Sayre Avenue, and like, okay, this is her son, and then this was this. And I remember going with this piece of paper, like a cheat sheet, to tell me who all these people are. But I agree with you. Like, I've never heard anyone say that they weren't embraced with such genuineness from the heart that, I mean, it's such a great experience like that. And I like the way you phrased and said it was an honor for an Italian-American to go. And it was an honor for the Italians to have this Italian-American come.
Absolutely.
So it was both cases. It was an honor.
It was an honor.
That's wonderful. That's great.
And
that's
when you left, I bet they probably cried many tears when you left.
They did.
Yeah.
And I did too.
See,
they cried many tears. I never forget this. My one of the cousins that we had dinner at, most of the people at that time, when they moved out of their homes from whatever small town they were in and they moved to Rome, they lived in condos.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived on the second floor of a condo. And my wife and I at the time pulled up with a taxi in front of this condo. And there were flowers on 20 steps each way up and down. And we wondered what it was about. It was because it was our honeymoon. And our family said, this is to honor you. And these people never met us before in their life.
Yeah.
And to take us in like that is something that I'll never forget.
No, and like I said, I'm sure there have been bad experiences for some people, but literally everyone you talk about when they go see the family, and you know what, it's not even like, you know, I'm going to see my uncle. I'm just going through the town that my family comes from, and you walk in, and everyone always tells you, like, well, you know, they obviously they know you're not from the town. So, hello, you know, can I help you? What are you doing here? You tell them, well, my family came from here 100 years ago. What's the name? Yeah, and then they bring you to somebody, and it's always such a great experience, you know, and it's real. It's real. I know what you're thinking, like the name of the show. It's Keeping It Real. Well, Dennis, thank you. Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
Okay, and next.
My name is Joe LaMontagna. I'm Dennis's son.
Okay.
I'm married to an Italian-American as well.
Great.
Who graduated from Ridgewood.
Excellent. Yeah. Even better. You can stay on the show. Okay.
Representing.
All right. How old were you the first trip you went?
I was 33 years old.
Was this honeymoon as well or no?
It was.
You went on your honeymoon with your wife. Was it her first trip too?
It was hers as well.
Oh my God. Is that
tradition?
That is really nice. Yeah. Okay.
And there's some parallels to his story as well, which we didn't even know at the time. Her family's also from Italy as well. Her father, she's first generation here, but it was her first time.
Okay.
So we kind of planned a last second honeymoon. I would say we figured it out maybe a month and a half before we got married. We said, let's just do it. You know, it's going to be a one-time-in-a-life opportunity. So we kind of did a whirlwind where we started in Venice and spent two nights there. And Venice is amazing. I mean,
it's just
we were literally planes, trains, and automobiles on our trip. And the first hotel we went at was a suggestion from a cousin, a distant cousin who lives in Italy, who happened to know, who was the daughter of Andrea, who he was talking about.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And she said, go to this hotel. My friend Ely will take care of you guys.
Okay.
So I remember calling him. He said, call me the first night you're there. Make sure you're okay. So we called him, and I said, Dad, this hotel's beautiful. You can't believe it. There was silk on the walls. I mean, that was the wallpaper was silk. And I described it. It was two stories, the bedroom. And he goes, you know, I think me and your mother stood there.
We did.
We didn't know each other were staying in the same place.
That's incredible. This is like 35 years later?
Yeah. Yeah. And more or less. They probably didn't change the hotel at all. I mean, it was beautiful. It was a boutique hotel. And they treated us like family because the Lamentagnas in Italy were friends with the family who owned this hotel.
Okay.
So it was the royal treatment when we were there. And so we spent two nights there, and then we took a train. We went to Florence.
Mm-hmm.
Florence is beautiful.
It sure is.
To me, it's my favorite city that I went to in Italy. It was so walkable. The culture is just there. It's in your face. The food is amazing. You mentioned you had great carbonara.
Yes, pasta alla carbonara, sì.
They do it so much better in Italy than they do it here. You can't find a good dish here.
Unfortunately, I think they do everything better in Italy than they do here. I mean, it's really hard to duplicate it, but yeah.
Yeah, so we spent two nights there, and then I really enjoy wine. So me and my wife, we rented a car, and we went to... the Tuscan area.
Did you really? I never did that. All my trips to Italy, I never drove there.
Oh, there's nothing better than going through the Tuscany mountains in a car, I gotta tell you.
I bet.
So we went to Chianti. We went to a vineyard called Verrazano, mm-hmm. which they've been making wine since the 1100s.
Oh my God.
That's what the Verrazano Bridge is named after, this family.
Oh, the Verrazano Bridge in New York. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And, I mean, it's picturesque. There's actually wild boar around the grounds. I mean...
Wow.
They know how to do a vineyard in Tuscany. So we spent the night in Tuscany, and then we ended up going to Montepulciano, and we went to the Brunello.
So we
spent one night there and went to some beautiful vineyards. We went to one called El Tassio, which some of the finest Brunello I ever had. And then right down the street was another, it's a famous vineyard called Mozart Vineyard.
Mm-hmm.
They actually play Mozart music in a certain section of that vineyard, and the vines will grow more higher and prevalent and better fruit with the music.
Is that
than that music. I mean, you could Google it. Just Google Mozart Vineyard, and they've done studies on it. The University of Florence has done studies on it, and you could see the difference with your eyes. It's amazing. So after that, we drove to Rome, where we have a distant cousin who... we stood with her one night, and she kind of took us around. She was lived in the outer circle of Rome.
Okay.
And, she took us, introduced us to her friends. We went out to dinner in the local areas, and, I'll never forget that night where her friend owned a restaurant, and we kind of just did family style, and I think all us guys like that, too, where you just throw the food on the table and just eat, and everybody shares it. After that, we ended up taking a train to Pompeii area. Went to Pompeii. Pompeii was amazing. I mean, they have things set up where there's just actually restaurants and coliseums, and this stuff was done AD.
Right.
I mean, it's just amazing. And then we went to Sorrento. And stood in Sorrento, and I just remember all the limoncello and the fresh fruit, and going back at night, walking back and just grabbing oranges off trees. And in the morning, me and my wife would have champagne and a little mimosa and make fresh mimosas.
And how long were you there?
We were there a total of 2 weeks, so we were humping. We were moving back and forth, and went to Capri. And, ended up flying out of Rome. I mean, it was just beautiful.
Wow. I mean, really, was there, like... any place that you ever went, that's not that pretty. I mean, the whole time you're there, you're like, your mouth is just, your tongue is hanging out. Like, everything is just so beautiful.
Yeah, what amazed me the most was every area we went to was like a different country. So it was a different culture, different
you're food. Right about that. Yes, different language, different dialects, different customs. And it really does change a lot, which maybe keeps it interesting because you are experiencing such different things.
Yeah, I mean, the food was just different in each area. That's what really amazed me. So we do want to go again, and we want to go to different regions.
Right.
We want to work our way south.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I've been there five times. I was lucky to do a study abroad program at Loyola University at Rome. I was in Rome for 5 months. Did I see everything? No. I mean, I could go back to Rome tomorrow. There was just so much to see, and all of it is so great.
I have a question, Frank. You speak Italian very well, very fluently.
Thank you.
How did you pick it up so quickly?
Okay, I'll be totally honest. First time I go, I knew some words, simple sentences. In fact, I'm trying to remember what the man. The first, when I went to the girlfriend's house, and the father said, what do you think? And I said, Roma bella. I remember those were my first words in Italy, Roma bella. So, I mean, I knew things like that. After that two-month trip, which I forgot to mention, one of the best weeks of my entire life, the friend I went with, the family had this condominium, which was roughly 100. It was in Montesivano in Abruzzo. And the big city next to that was Pescara. Mm-hmm. From the condo, it was about 100 feet to the Adriatic Sea, 100 feet with nothing in front of us. The interesting thing about Montesivano that I learned much later, years later, one of our favorites, Italian-Americans, Dean Martin, his father is from Montesivano because Dean Martin's daughter wrote a book about him, and she said it in the book. And I met her at a book signing, and I said, you're not going to believe this, but I've actually been to Montesivano. I mean, I spent like a couple weeks in Montesivano. Beautiful place. So the friend has this apartment. His aunt, who lived in northern Italy, she came down. So we stayed there with his aunt. So what would we do? Well, you wake up late and you go to the beach. And you're at the beach and you have fun. And I met these Italian girls. And my language skills were improving pretty much every day. Now, they were improving too because I'm spending these days with native Italians.
Right.
And I also was so like, I mean, I'm loving everything about this. I mean, I'm literally ready to move to this country. I mean, I everything about it, I just adored it. I couldn't get enough of it. So my Italian is improving with the girls' help, okay? So you're at the beach, improving your Italian, meeting these girls. Around 1:30, we head back the 100 feet. Where she prepares this unbelievable lunch, okay? So we eat like pigs, we rest from this difficult day we've had, and then we go back to the beach. So now I travel the 100 feet again to keep improving my Italian skills and meet more girls, okay? Then we go back 6 o'clock, the 100 feet, and she prepares the dinner, which is a little lighter because I'm gonna be going to the discotheque soon. So now I have the light dinner, we each rest, we change, and we go to a disco. And I did this 7 days in a row. I got to be honest, I've never had as much fun ever since. Okay, I probably never will. That was an unbelievable week of my life. I picked up a lot with the Italian language. I came home, and I started going through travel books. I got to get back. So I didn't even go to Loyola, but Loyola had a Rome Center to study abroad at. And I applied, and they took me. So from basically, I don't know, August 1st, by January 5th, I'm going back for 5 months this time.
Wow.
Well, now that trip, I mean, I'm there 5 months. I made some friends, Roman friends. Yes, there were more Italian girls involved. And I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, you're having a relationship with an Italian girl who doesn't speak English. Well, you're going to get a lot better. You know what I mean? So the more I'm there, plus, like I said, I was just like, I was coming out of my skin. Passion possibly was too little of a word. I mean, I'm coming out of my skin. I'm loving this. One particular girl, I almost was like going to stay. I mean, I was just so crazed about it. I just kept getting better with it. I mean, I had taken some classes, but you really want to learn it, you know. Being there is the best thing. And plus, like I said, I was just so like, you know. And plus, I was with the native Italians a lot, you know. The female ones, no. but yeah, that's how I basically got it. But like I said earlier, I find it to be magical. I mean, just a magical country in every aspect. We have so much to be proud of. I have these friends that are brothers and they're older. I mean, like 75, one's 80. Their father is from Mola di Bari. They have never been to Italy, all of them. And I plead with them and say, look, I understand now in the summers, it costs a lot of money, mm-hmm. the trip. But in the winter, in the off season, it's not that expensive. I mean, these are 80-year-old men. They're not going to the beach. They're not. I say, do yourselves a favor, please. Book a 9-day trip. Go to Rome. Go to Mola di Bari. Go see where your father's from. Go to Rome. Come back. Do yourself that favor. You have to see it. By the way, none of us work for travel agencies or ever will. So it has nothing to do with getting people.
No,
this is from the
ships.
Right. This is from the heart. Every Italian American, do yourself an honor, like Dennis said, and go visit that country. And if there are people to see, guess what? It will still to this day be an honor for them because they're always received very well. The country, the people, I think they're so happy that you would come to see them and to see their country and to see their place. And you know what? I will say this too from the small towns, and Melissa, I'm sure, could back me up. The small, small towns, not a lot of things are happening in their lives different, okay? I've often said, you know, everybody knows what everybody ate when they fought with their wife, when they had sex with their wife, because nothing else is going on. So when people come from America to see them, it is a big thing to them.
Oh, yeah.
Because the day you leave, they're back to that routine. You know, so I mean, it really is an honor for them and a privilege, and do yourself an honor. So anybody in having said that, any other thing to say before we leave everyone? I want to thank all of you. And I have to leave the show with the quote of the show, as we always do. I like to just get inspirational words. So all you children out there, put your ear to the radio. Don't go around telling yourself you are sick, you are weak, you are defeated. Not at all. Take charge of yourself. You are greater than you think. Everyone, go to Italy. I want to thank all my guests. Thank you for taking the time here to tell us your stories. They were great. They were inspirational. Thank you, John DeVita. And everyone, have a great day and a great night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next time you're found with your chin on the ground, there's a lot to be learned. So look around.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
You have been listening to Keeping It Real with Frankie D and his guests on Jack FM 89.7, WRHS FM Norwich, and the Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network. This program was directed by John DeVita. Our special thanks to radio station manager Kevin Zeflik of WRHS-FM Norwich and Mr. John Chikanda of the Windy City Hometown Entertainment Network. This program was pre-recorded on Wednesday, April the 14th, the year 2015. Until next time, thanks for listening and have a great day.
Kilowatt dam. Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
Oops, there goes a billion kilowatt dam.
And this is Jack FM 89.7, WRHS FM, Norwich, Illinois.